Cable News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Portland Mayor Charlie Hales, Multnomah County Commissioner Chair Deborah Kafuri, and medical professionals today urged the governors of Oregon and Washington to push Congress for a permanent ban on oil by train following the oil train fire in the Columbia Gorge town of Mosier on June 3rd. Cable reporter Theo Burke attended a press conference held in Mosier last Thursday, organized by the Yakima Nation. It was attended by other Columbia River tribes and environmental activist Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
Last Thursday was the 161st anniversary of the treaty signing between the Yakima Nation and the United States government. The Yakima Nation held a press conference Thursday in Mosier, site of the oil train derailment, joined by representatives from the Warm Springs and Umatilla Columbia River tribes, as well as the Lummi Nation from Washington State, and also by Robert F. Kennedy Jr., the environmental activist, who has worked with the Northwest tribes for over 30 years. His niece is the president of the Mosier Elementary School. Tonight, we hear the voices of five leaders of the tribes from the press conference who discuss the impact of fossil fuel trains on all residents of the gorge and also the sanctity of treaties. Then we have KBOO's interview with the chairman of the Yakima Nation, Joe Day Gowdy, who was a host of the press conference. And we get the big context from the electrifying oratory of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. First, we hear from Joe Day Gowdy, chairman of the Yakima Nation, during the press conference.
The Yakima Nation, along with other Columbia River Treaty tribes, Warm Springs Nez Umatilla Nation, Nez Perce Nation, all have historical ties to our Enchiwana, to the Columbia River. We've been a very strong advocate of the fight of a fossil fuel superhighway coming through this Columbia River Gorge. There was warnings, teachings, testimonies, and songs that spoke of this day and time. And there's a warning that's still there for each of us, whether you're Native or not, that is there. That if we continue down a pathway of irresponsible decision-making, we will all reap the consequence of that. And we cannot foresee nor mitigate what that consequence will be for us. So I put a call out President Obama from the executive branch. Utilize your executive authority. Make a stand. Zero tolerance for fossil fuel transport through the Northwest, specifically the Columbia River, the Enchiwana.
Next, we hear from Mustalik, or Austin Green, chairman of the Warm Springs Nation.
If you take a look at the ancient fishing sites that we've acquired and we still hold in our hearts on both sides of the river, usually those in loose fishing sites are between the rail and the river. Now, how is that going to help our fishermen that are on the river should something like this happen?
Now we hear from two tribal leaders who talked about the sanctity of treaty and constitutional rights, Davis Washims, or Yellowwash, from the Yakima General Council, and Chairman Burke of the Umatilla Nation.
Today is Treaty Day for the Yakima Nation. 161 years ago, our leaders signed a covenant, a document, with the United States of America, not with Oregon, not with Washington, Idaho, certainly not with North Dakota. We signed it with the United States of America.
But treaty itself should be regarded as the highest supreme law of the land, that's what we were told. I hope that's still true today. For the sovereignty of the treaty tribes, the sovereignty of states, the sovereignty of the United States, those laws need to be regarded as all supreme laws of the land. But today we're here on a lot of rights and sovereignty rights. They say transportation of the railroad has those constitutional rights. Well, so do we. We have those constitutional rights also.
And again, Yellowwash, or Davis Yashims, from the Yakima General Council.
I'm glad to be back in Mosier. I'm glad I can come back to a place called Mosier. And that I'm glad that I come here and I see a school that is still here, and our community is still here.
And now, J. Julius, chairman of the Lummi Nation of Bellingham, Washington.
And who gives us the right to do something that is called progress at the expense of this gift that we have taken for granted for the last 160 to 200 years and all but destroyed? And what have we sowed over the last 160 years? And what are the consequences, the destruction that our future generations are going to reap from the decisions and the things that we have allowed to take place? We say no more. Enough is enough. We stand united. It is our prayer that some moral excellence comes from our leadership. Whatever your belief is, whether your belief is traditional, cultural, biblical, everywhere you look, leadership, even biblical, has moral obligations from their God, from their Creator, from their people, directives. And it's time to stop destroying these gifts that we have been gifted. It's time to move forward in a new direction. And if we can't do it for ourselves, we have to stand united and do it for the children and the future generations and the unborn.
After the press conference, KBU interviewed Jode Gowdy, the chairman of the Yakima Nation. So, Chairman, I noticed that someone talked about that some of the fishing sites are between the rail and the river. And in general, what special challenges do the tribes face in dealing with oil trains in the Columbia compared to the other folks like in Mosier?
Well, I think that whether it's unique to oil trains or whether it's unique to rail traffic in general, obviously we have a very long-standing history here as far as being residents on the river. When the railways first came forth, they displaced a number of historical communities, and many of our peoples were those communities and from our original homelands and territories. Specifically, any rail traffic is going to impact the fishery when it comes to access. You know, historically, we've had to advocate, and even through case law, had to establish the right to gain access to the river, even over rail. And there obviously has always been a historic concern with regard to the public safety element from both railways on the Washington-Oregon side. But nonetheless, an increased impact in rail oil, if it's going to be specifically oil traffic, you know, the amount of trains that are coming through, obviously this derailment is a fine example of a consequence that not only fisher people and some of the original native people of this land would have to endure, but all people would have to endure that consequence. The increased rail traffic, we've had historical deaths as far as people being hit by trains, an increase in impact and more trains coming through the gorge here obviously elevates the risk of that happening further to our people. The associated risk with any kind of contribution to the already substantial challenges that are faced by our salmon and the other fish that reside within the river, and everything that's associated with that. Anything that rail, oil, coal, other fossil fuels contribute to that, along with the challenges of Hanford, the challenges of the dams, the challenges of the aluminum plants, the historical challenges, the current challenges, and the future challenges, it's a very substantial picture that we face. And so.
And now, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Mr. Kennedy has a condition called spasmodic dysphonia, a disorder that affects his voice box.
The regulatory agency says that it needs to do to protect these communities. It got rid of the rail car. It stripped the most flammable gases from the Bakken crude, inspected the rail, and made sure this rail, which is one of the, it's a straightaway. You can't go derail on the straightaway. That's what they tell us. But here, on a straightaway with recently inspected tracks, with brand new, unbreakable rail cars, and with the gas stripped and made safer, as safe as they say they can make it, it still exploded. And thank God we didn't have a wind that day. What is the reaction of the oil industry and their indentured servants in our political process? Their answer is to increase our reliance on fossil fuels and to make the Columbia River Gorge the conveyance or all fossil fuels, not only to the United States and the West Coast, but also to all of Asia. So we've got, as Chairman Gowdy said, you've got the largest oil export terminal in the United States, in North America, ever built, now proposed for Vancouver. You have the largest coal terminal ever built in North America in Longview, Washington. You have two more oil terminals that are proposed for Gray Harbor. And then you have the largest gas terminal ever built in Kalama, which is owned, by the way, by a Chinese company. And how is this good for America? The only benefit is to Chinese billionaires and the Chinese government and some Canadian billionaires. A week ago, and it's in this particular little stretch of rail is in perfect condition. It could not be in better condition. And they said, well, we got them to reduce the amount of flammable gases in Bakken crude because, as you all know, Bakken crude is the most flammable kind and explosive kind of crude oil. It's more explosive, more flammable than raw gasoline. These are anybody who says this is not a bomb train. The DOT says we can expect 12 derailments a year of Bakken crude oil trains. And it's going to create a renaissance of manufacturing in this country, a rebirth of manufacturing, because energy prices are going to be so low that everybody is going to suddenly build factories. Well, now they're building a terminal so the Chinese can be paying the same amount for natural gas as we're paying. There is no benefit. It is a harm to the United States. But unfortunately, as all these projects show, we have lawmaking and government that is not being run for irrational reasons or for public safety reasons. It is being run, rules are being written by the carbon incumbents to favor and support the filthiest, dirtiest, most addictive, most destructive fuels from hell, rather than the cheap, clean, green, wholesome, and patriotic fuels from heaven, which we have plenty of in this country. And this is just another externality of big oil. You know, oil, there's no way that oil could compete with renewable energy in this country if it had to do it head to head. So it has to get hundreds of billions of dollars of subsidies every year, and it has to externalize the cost of doing business. And part of those externalities are what they did here, which is to make a fire and disrupt this community and put everybody in this community at risk. And that's the only way that they can compete in the marketplace. And what they're and they know that now because, and I'll tell you, I am in the solar energy business. I do construction of solar energy plants and wind energy plants. And I can tell you, we built the two biggest solar energy plants in this country. And I can tell you the price of building solar energy is about $2.5 billion per gigawatt. Well, what's the price of a natural gas plant? $3 billion a gigawatt. Oil plant, $3 billion a gigawatt. A coal plant, $3 billion a gigawatt. A nuke plant, $15 billion a gigawatt. You could make energy by burning prime rib if you wanted to. Why would we use the most expensive kind? The only reason we use the most expensive kind is because they have subverted our democracy and they are running the show.
Finally, we asked Chairman Gowdy in our interview, what should folks do to change this situation?
I would hope and try to encourage each and every individual to know first and foremost and understand who are your leaders about at the local level, the state level, and the federal level, and to establish a contact with those leaders to understand what their formal position is with regard to fossil fuel transport here in the Northwest, whether it be specifically the Columbia River Gorge, whether it be up through the coast of Washington or into our Oregon, if they have a position that somewhat supports or is making concessions, to absolutely demand the justification for that when we all are very well reminded of the consequence that's been endured here in the last few days when it goes unchecked.
You are listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Debtors' Assembly in St. John's, Tuesday, June 21st at 4 p.m. under the bridge at Cathedral Park in Portland. Strike Debt is a nationwide movement of debt resistors fighting for economic justice and democratic freedom. This event also features a Strike Debt Portland potluck. Again, that's the Debtors' Assembly in St. John's, Tuesday, June 21st, 4 to 7 p.m. at Cathedral Park in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Coming up next, we have Preference Radio. This program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Radio Cab, serving the metro area since 1946 with service 24 hours a day.